From Minnesota Public Radio, this is Grammar Grader. It's the podcast that looks at words, grammar, and usage for the information age. This week's episode, Flip-Flop Fever.
Now flip, flop, and fly. I don't care if I die.
Now this episode of Grammar Grader is going to present something slightly different than we've done before.
This week, on a very special Grammar Grader.
Yes, thanks, Corey. That's right. The people from Minnesota Public Radio's program, In the Loop, did a great show all about flip-flops, and they asked us to examine the word. So we looked at the grammar and usage of the word flip-flop. It was a great honor to be asked. And what did you think of the experience, Corey?
I thought it brought a really interesting vibe to try to do this show live in front of an audience. What did you think of it, Luke?
Yeah, the live thing was quite a trip. And this one's also kind of interdisciplinary because we kind of have some history, some political science, as well as language.
See what you think. I hope you like it.
Yeah, me too. And the complete episode of In the Loop is also available as a podcast. Go to npr.org to hear it. Grammar Grader will be back next week in its usual format. So, do you want to say it?
Are you sure? Can I?
Oh, be my guest.
All right. Grammar Grader has been taped before a live studio audience.
Now, the inspiration for our show tonight really is this single phrase. So when it comes to parsing the English language, Minnesota Public Radio has a podcast. It's called Grammar Grader, and they're particularly good at this kind of thing. Luke Taylor is one of the folks behind it. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course. Grammar Grader, for people who don't know, it's all about taking a fun look at grammar and usage.
That's right. It's surprising how much fun you can have just playing with words.
Now, you brought some of your gang along here. What did you guys uncover for us about flip-flop?
Well, it's interesting, Jeff. Flip-flop is actually in a family of words that are created by a process called reduplication. And what that means is the repetition of a same or similar sound. Other words in this family include things like knick-knack, flim-flam, hodgepodge, shilly-shally, and hoity-toity. And like flip-flop, these words are often hyphenated. And we found that flip-flop has a number of meanings, and one of those meanings comes from the world of electronics.
In digital circuits, a flip-flop is a kind of bistable multivibrator, an electronic circuit that's capable of serving as one bit of memory.
Fascinating.
Now, in addition to that thing, flip-flop is also a kind of bicycle hub. It's a handspring in gymnastics. And, of course, we're all familiar with its use in the world of fashion. Footwear, flip-flops, a.k.a. thongs.
Ooh, I just love to grab my thongs and head out to the beach.
Oh, my.
And now, of course, the thing you've all been waiting for, the political meaning of flip-flop. And that's when a political person has a sudden real or apparent change of policy or opinion. Now, to understand this better, let's follow a fictitious politician, Senator John Q. Sample, as he takes his whistle-stop tour.
Why, hello, Senator Sample. It's a pleasure to meet you. I'm with the Dairy Farmers Association.
Oh, well, let me assure you that if elected, oh, I promise to declare the milkshake one of the most beneficial drinks to humankind.
I'm darn glad to hear that. You've got my vote.
Why, thank you.
Oh, Senator Sample, I'm with the Heart Association, and I'd like to know your position on milkshakes.
Well, let me say that I'm opposed to milkshakes due to their fatty content.
Now, that is an example of a flip-flop. Now, if you listen carefully, you'll hear that in the political sense, the word flip-flop can be used as a noun and as a verb.
Senator Sample, how do you respond to the allegations on this whole flip-flopping issue of the milkshakes?
I have not, I do not, and I will never flip-flop.
But there are reports that...
I am not a flip-flopper.
Now, the word flip-flop earned a great deal of attention in the U.S. presidential election of 2004. But we found that the term goes at least as far back as the 1988 campaign. And the idea of flip-flop is not limited to American politics. It's much more widespread. Many other English-speaking countries use flip-flop as well. Here's a passage from the Sydney Morning Herald, dated November 8, 2007.
The debate had provided little new material to the argument. There were no new policies, fireworks, or flip-flops.
And it's even made its way to the airwaves of the BBC.
It was wall-to-wall contrition over the great on-off autumn election fiasco, says the Daily Telegraph, pointing out that Prime Minister Gordon Brown's flip-flop gives the Tories time to develop voter-friendly policies that might establish them as a credible government in waiting.
In the CBC...
The Liberals are accusing the provincial government of a flip-flop on public funding for private education. The announcement last week of a tax credit for private school tuition surprised many people.
Flip-flop is clearly a popular and valued political term throughout the world.
Why would that be? It's kind of a weird word.
Yeah, why is flip-flop so popular? Why don't we call it a U-turn or something?
Now, those are great questions. So let's turn to our friend Gordon Jarvie, the author of the Bloomsbury Grammar Guide. Remember, as we said earlier, flip-flop is a word that's formed by reduplication.
Many of these reduplicative words involve an element of rhyme, which is what makes them memorable and ensures the contemporary colloquial popularity of this aspect of word formation. Nowadays, we all seem to love a rhyme.
Hey, he's right. Flip-flop is a fun word. Flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop.
Oh, yes.
This has been Grammar Grader from Minnesota Public Radio. Source material for this episode came from the Oxford Dictionary of Current English, the Bloomsbury Grammar Guide, from Wikipedia, from the Washington Post, the Sydney Morning Herald, the BBC, and the CBC. Thanks to Jeff Horwich and everyone at In the Loop. Thanks also to Gordon Jarvie, Ewan Kerr, David Roach, and Michael Bailey. Thanks as always to the Grammatis Personae players, Corey Bussey, John Ryan, and Bridget Murphy. Our editor is Jen Houck, and many, many thanks to producer extraordinaire Brett Baldwin. Tell us what you think of this week's episode by going to grammargrader.gather.com.